So this
is the meeting of the Subcommittee on Population Health, and our focus is on developing our work plan. I think we've had, the nature of the conversations today were remarkable and I think incredibly generative in terms of helping provide us with focus and direction. So I'd love to continue in that vein. Bill and I can briefly summarize what we've done I'll get to that in a second. So what we've done and a tentative work plan agenda that we helped frame, which in point of fact can all be thrown out given what we've heard today. And that option is not listed on the paper, but certainly one of the things that we will propose, I think, is an alternative to deal with, I think, the emerging exigent issue that we discussed this morning, and I think a real impetus around Jim mentioned the Mosaic workshop, building on that, focusing on granularity, because that's an issue that touches all the work we do as a potential additional option. So let me just quickly frame what we've done and have Bill discuss part of what our options for the work plan are. What we really want to do, our goal for this session is to get feedback from all the committee members and all the staff about what you think would make the most sense for us as a population health subcommittee to tackle first. So that's the goal for today. What you have in your book is a wonderful four-page write-up called Community CLS for Health and CVHS Plans. And this is a document that Susan Cannon put together after numerous conversations and telephone calls and interactions that essentially frames what we were thinking about in terms of the Population Health Committee, but the Population Health Committee as a facilitator for the broader committee activities. And initially, the four streams of work that we developed are something called the Framework Project, which Bill will talk to you about in a second, which has two broad work streams. And then the other two broad work streams are a continuation of our learnings from our previous community as a learning system activity. And they focused on an astute observation that I think Len Nichols clarified for me is we need to meet communities where they are, and we need to be able to figure out where communities are. So if we could do that, we would go so far down the road in being able to provide useful technical assistance and resource and data. So that's the third stream. And the fourth stream sort of emerged as a consensus from a variety of our previous meetings and from our workshops. Really reinvigorating what the Fed, and we'll discuss this here throughout the day, what's the role of the federal government in reinvigorating these conversations and providing support and trying to come up with some discrete, actionable recommendations for the secretary that would move the federal government, HHS, in the direction of being a more effective partner in providing community support. So those are the four general work streams. And the other option that really emerged today is, I think that crosses all of the activities is
geography, but really it is granularity. There, you know, how do you define granularity? What are the issues? What data are available? What other data can be brought? And as several people have mentioned, it's a function of the use of the data, linking our needs for the data to the potential uses. So that's another I would put on if we have four work streams, that's a potential fifth work stream, focusing on having a workshop, getting all the players together. Tomorrow morning I'll report on the Data Council, and this was really resonated with many of the HHS agencies. This is a conversation they're very excited to have, and I think would be a wonderful partner for us in that area. Bill, are there any questions? That's my summary. Any thoughts, comments immediately? Bill?
Thank you, Bruce. And particularly want to thank Susan for the work she's done in hooking pieces together. And then Nancy Breen was willing to join the phone calls and take on actually developing one of the appendices, and has been very helpful to this process. So thank you for that. As Bruce has described and is written in the short document, we're envisioning this as a set of activities that collectively support our effort to focus on the federal government's role in helping communities learn at national scale. I mean, and so although we describe them as work streams, they're actually one set of interrelated work, and I think that's one key piece. Second, as we work through this, and the framework work group is drawn from all of the subcommittees of NCVHS, and as we went through this, it was clear that this was work for the committee as a whole, that the Population Health Committee could facilitate it because everything needs to sort of be led from somewhere, but this is work for a committee of the whole. And so at the end of the day, Larry would have to correct me if I'm wrong, but I think we actually want this basic short document probably adopted by the committee as a whole. I don't know how we do with that, not as something that's sent to anybody, but that is something that we think can guide not everything we're doing, but an important set of things we're doing that we want to do as a committee as a whole. So, and it does have the four pieces that Bruce has described. The framework project, I just draw your attention to the top of page two, and this reflects literally hours of discussion that Susan distilled out key sentences. It's I think important almost to just read your way through a few of them. Whatever their domain of activity, today's health data users need a parsimonious way to capture and organize high-leverage data from multiple sources, as well as understanding how to use and repurpose the data appropriately. That's one point. The most users come to data and analysis from one perspective or level and may not have a way of seeing how they could draw on other data or levels. Diversity in the data is valuable. The framework project is designed to help communities and others work with that diversity to solve problems, catalog and organize information about data into serviceable structures. So it plays very well into the conversations we've had this morning and through the rest of the day, because the objectives of the data continuum framework are to optimize measurement across levels, to clarify the choices involved in assembling and using data at various population levels, and to assess the gap between existing data sets and the full complement needed to guide health improvement. So our discussion around granularity is an example of what we mean by both the continuum and the different methods one would need to think about as levels with data at different levels of that continuum. And then the methods framework are to organize information about the characteristics of various data sources and methods so they can be repurposed for use at various levels and to optimize use across levels. So our discussion around things like timeliness and how you would have to characterize timeliness and how you would have to capture that in metadata are examples of the kind of methods that we're talking about, as are one vision of the kind of recipes and so forth that we've been talking about in this latter set of discussion. If we made all this come together correctly, it would allow us to dock those recipes, if you will, to the right types of data sources or level in the population. So at high level, that's just pointing out some key pieces that are in the document. And then just draw your attention without really going through them to Appendix 1 and Appendix 2, because this has been so abstract. They were an attempt to give you a concrete example of if in both of them, population level sort of went across those examples in columns, and methods or characteristics of data types came down them in rows, and we just then put some of the examples in the cells. And the simple example I did was one that I just distilled from a public panel at one of the IOM committee discussions on social and behavioral determinants around asthma and exacerbation of asthma, and what kind of things in the electronic health record might help people in clinical.
Tamara, could you find that? It's in the other Word document, facilitating community learning systems.
Page 26.
Yeah, I have it on my computer. I just don't know where it's on this one.
Oh, yeah, I don't
know. Move the name.
Sorry. I saw it in some file.
Oh, it's on the ESG file?
Yeah, it's part of the ESG.
No, it didn't, because I constructed this from what was presented at the AMA. It wasn't. The data was presented. I made this on the plane back.
Okay. Did I also send it as a JPEG when I sent out the
transmittal?
I'm
sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but I thought that was. Yeah. Yeah, there it is.
Acrobat.
It's, yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Perfect.
Thank you.
There.
She's staffed.
So, as you see, and this is, it's just a very small example, but one column for the individual level, then community agency panels working with individual level, but level data, but from a different perspective, and then small area variation, which is aggregate, but related to the area in which that individual lives or set of individual lives. And then coming down, the things that need to be explicit and the methods relate to is, what is the type of data source, what elements are relevant to this particular problem, what is the voice of the person who has captured the data or who has originated the data, and then its granularity, play back to that example, then whether it's individually identified or not, and then what actions you begin to get in how you actually use it to deal with that case, and then what are the stewardship requirements that you have to deal with as you deal with reuse. And then Appendix 2 is one that Susan put together, Nancy put together, with information from various data sources at those different levels, from the cancer world. If you want to speak a second about that, Nancy.
Okay. Well,
Bill actually developed this format, and then it seemed like it would be useful to have a second example. And so I said I would try to develop one with cancer. So I think as we were working through the different levels or continuum, because I, as I said to Susan, we use continuum in a little bit different way at NCI, and I think at some of the other institutes, it's more healthy population, disease, diagnosis. I mean, it goes. So, you know, we're still toying with language here, and these might be levels of analysis, the individual, the community, and small area variation, but we're still struggling with all those things. And then also, when I put in surveys, Bill said, and that would be the sort of top left cell that is not bolded, which is not a, you know, that actually has information in it. He said, well, but would that be at the individual level? And I said, well, only the micro data would be at the individual level. So a lot of this information is going to have multiple uses, and I think, you know, it's going to take a lot of thinking on this, the part of this committee and everybody here with all the different expertises around the table to try to kind of sort this out and figure out how to use it. But just to mention a couple more things, I also tried to bring in some of the tools that NCI has developed in order to look at some of these aspects. For example, there's a planning tool called Cancer Control Planet, which when you go into Cancer Control Planet, it's got a lot of information. You go through steps and you find out for your locality, and it's just down to the county level, and I think we want more granularity, but it's a start to see what the cancer-related descriptive data is like, what kind of surveillance, you know, how, what is cancer incidence, what is screening, so that you can see where are the areas where work is needed in your area. And then you can go through and it provides evidence-based interventions that have worked for these things, which you can pull off the shelf and utilize in your community. So the idea is to be able to help you identify what issues there are in your community and then what interventions have an evidence base that you could use to try to work on and make meaningful change to improve those issues. And then the Cancer Trends Progress Report is, like it says, it provides a lot of information on different aspects related to cancer. It's easy to digest data. There's a lot of tabular information and also graphs that are easy to read, and those go down to usually it's just the national data, and so you need to kind of use that with Cancer Control Planet if you want to compare national with more local data. And then thinking about community agencies, I think that it was a little bit different, and I may not be quite right on this, but when you get into the world of cancer, beyond screening anyway, it's a disease that's pretty complicated for people to navigate, and it requires pretty intensive medical services. So navigators, primary care physicians, hospitalists, I mean, we're not at the level of landlords and people in households anymore. So it just seemed like these two examples would provide a lot of information that would help us think about how this might work on the ground in terms of thinking about this continuum and this framework.
Thank you. So that's sort of as far as we got, and as we thought about work plan, I think what I at least became confident in is that we weren't going to get a lot further with email and short phone calls. And yeah, we can flip back to the work plan. What I would put on the table is that it would be useful for the framework work group or some such small set to actually spend a day in a face-to-face where we actually tried to populate enough sort of use cases, not real work cases, that we could then design a workshop. Because I think what we've got to do is get enough of an understanding of what we're trying to do that we can then decide who are, in fact, the experts we need to bring to the table to have the right workshop or hearing to get to where we would then have something that could be turned into some form of a white paper that would describe this that would allow both us, as we go through the kind of conversations we've been going through today, and in recommendations to the secretary, help people see how this kind of framework would guide people to what their choices were, to what the right methods were, et cetera.
Nancy? Well, I think one of the things that kind of I find overwhelming that I hope that, you know, we might be able to make some headway with is those 908 or however many data sets that the federal government has available to it. That's pretty overwhelming. And so is there a way that we can help people navigate through that to understand what the purposes of those data are and how they might be able to use them together or independently? And in ways that, you know, would allow them to answer the questions that they need. To me, that's a big part of the task.
Well, let me just spend a couple more minutes describing what other activities we thought about, and then I really want to open it up to feedback from everybody to give us some direction. So if you scroll down a little, Tamara, the other piece of activity that the Population Health Subcommittee is interested in working on is sort of a continuation of some of the community as a learning system activities. And in particular, the two areas of keen interest is, I guess, keen interest initially is to have a better sense of how we understand what's useful for communities, and we're describing that as community readiness. How can we assess what community, and the focus here is around data needs in particular, health data needs. Susan Queen had done some initial work looking at what the federal government had been doing, and she was surprised to find very little. The feds have lots of community-focused projects, community development projects, but very little on providing support for community data use. Now that we've got Chris back and Pat Remington and a variety of folks who are very familiar with providing data and data support to communities, we wanted to expand our investigation to look at what's going on in the non-federal sector around providing technical assistance and health data support at the local level. And the whole goal, of this process would be essentially to come up with some guidance. So for data providers, whether it's federal data providers, state data providers, private data providers, they would be able to, you know, understand better how to provide meaningful data to communities because they will be able to better assess where communities' abilities are at with respect to using data. And this is a conversation that would involve communities extensively. And this, what emerged in these discussions at the same time we're assessing community readiness, it's an opportunity to sort of assess where the federal government is at
in terms of its resources for providing data support. So the projects you see involved in this dual track of population health work would be to gather more information over the next couple of months, maybe write some framing papers, and then hold a two-day workshop, and we're targeting the fall. It could be sooner if we're ready, sooner, to work with communities, I think work with data intermediaries, work with foundations, work with aid, and work with federal agencies and other partners to come up with a framework that will allow us to better help provide support for communities. And the outgrowth would be a report and recommendations and guidance, as well as specific recommendations to the secretary on sort of like what Walter was talking about before, sort of reorienting or reinvigorating the federal workforce to provide data support. So that was the that was our other thought. And what emerged today, this morning, I think, is a potential third train, which is to focus some of our efforts in addressing the issue of granularity, building on the work that's been done, and really the clear need to provide guidance, I think, as part of healthdata.gov, as part of directions for the secretary, as part of the emerging strategic plan. What is the role of the federal government in supporting communities at the local level in terms of data support? And essentially, we were talking over lunch, and the three tracks that came to mind to explore are, you know, the federal government can try to provide data down at much lower levels than they're currently doing. The federal government, other folks can provide those data. The federal government can teach communities how to collect the data at that level, so communities can actually generate their own data. So exploring the federal roles in actually providing data and supporting efforts to collect data at lower levels of aggregation. That would be the nature of, I think, the workshop that would involve a variety of sectors of folks who are experts. I guess the other train is, if we can't collect data at the local level, can we provide small area estimates that are acceptable to communities? If we can't actually collect the data in actionable units, can we provide some estimates? If we can't figure out what the smoking rate is in Brookline, are there ways to use existing data sources to estimate it? And that's, the federal government is really good at some of these statistical techniques and supporting services. I know I was just talking with Chris, and Community Commons is getting into the area of small area estimation. BRFSS is. It's an emerging potential option for helping communities with the data they need. I'll stop now. One other thing. I'm sorry. Chris reminded me, our focus today has been on data, but data are only one input into how communities make decisions. For me, keeping my eyes on the prize, the immediate prize, is helping support community data. But the ultimate goal is, helping communities make decisions, that they want to make. And so, ultimately, whatever we do, it needs to be in the broader context of how communities use data to improve the quality of their life. So I just wanted to remind folks of what our gestalt is. Sorry for talking too long.
What do you want us to do?
Larry has...
So I want to make three points I want to make. One is it has been a great privilege for me to watch this group do what it has done to produce the three or four pages up there in this page. It's been not just interesting, it's been impressive. I wish to express appreciation for wrestling this to one page with a framework project and the community readiness and technical assistance project. I think that's a laudable achievement that I want to celebrate.
We just expanded it, so.
Well, that's the second,
the second page.
That's the second point I want to make. What you said with your additional comments here, Bruce, about the granularity issue and the three, possibly four streams, from my understanding of where you've arrived, that is actually embedded in the framework project and the community readiness and technical assistance thing. I am not clear, including from today's discussions about granularity, that we need to reach out and talk about the level of granularity of data as if it's a separate ontological thing out there somewhere that we need to study. I would predict that it will emerge as a pivotal issue in the work of the framework project and assessing community readiness and the sort of assistance that they need. And the third thing is I wanted to express appreciation for the staff support that got this to where it is. And I get one opinion here. I think this is beautiful. And I heard your first comment about whether that you might want to have some sort of approval process to forecast that. I'm sitting here triggered by you, Bruce, to say maybe in a few minutes we might want to hit the pause button, think back through what we've heard from these three groups with the work plans, and just ask ourselves if we're prepared to endorse them in concept as what we're up to. I see them as a coherent package deal that's dangerously close to setting up into coherence.
You better stop that.
Yeah, we're stuck here right.
Sally?
That's it. It's a mess.
Along those lines, issues discussed with granularity in terms of geographies, but that also gets into dates. And looking at your enabling deliverables from other NCVHS subgroups on page 3, part of the facilitating CLS document, it would seem that this is an opportunity for privacy and population health to work sort of very jointly to identify use cases and then figure out what use cases are really important for communities today at these different levels in the framework, and then from that, what stewardship, privacy, and security practices are needed to facilitate it.
Great. Thank you.
Lynn?
Yeah, so not, you may have gone over this in other meetings, but what level of locality are we talking about? State, county, city?
No. Yeah, well, I should have the definition of community tattooed on, but I you brought up an interesting issue. The feds think of small areas states. State thinks of county as small area. People think of small areas their neighborhood. So, I mean, it's all of those, depending upon where you sit. And, you know, what is the obligation of the federal government to provide support for areas, I would think, below county is the way I think of small area. You're right that, you know, NCHS is trying to generate state estimates, BRFSS is generating county estimates, and folks at the county levels are, you know, looking at towns and communities, and we generate data by neighborhood. So, but you're looking troubled.
I guess I haven't wrapped my head around. You know, is it the federal government's responsibility to support neighborhood use of data? I guess the assumption is that yes, it is.
That would be a wonderful conversation to have. My answer would be yes.
Let me speak from a point of view of the thought of the framework. With the framework, what we're really trying to do is to help people think about data at a number of levels. And in that case, we're talking about from the individual to small area to whatever communities they think themselves as part of, which can be a number, to the population as a whole, because there you measure things differently and you interpret them differently at those different levels that are in fact summative. And that's one part of it. If in fact we can have a method for understanding and helping people think about those differences, so they optimize how they use data from those different levels together to deal with a problem, then we would have a way to sit down and have a reasoned discussion about, given that, what is the proper role of people in different places in working together to give us the infrastructure to use data to improve health. And that would then answer the question of what's the role of the federal government.
Yeah.
So these things all connect, as I think Larry was saying, but they're not monolithic answers. They're connected. Does that help?
Yeah. Well, yes, and I think the use cases will be really important and should be real. So when I look at the framework, so I think about some of the work that I've done at states doing transformation of their Medicaid payment reform, which is really trying to figure out a way to do multi-payer analysis and link with communities and public health, and how do you do that? And cancer would be a perfect example. And there I think it's almost supporting local public health to connect with the healthcare system at the community level, which is generally the county. It's generally the county. It's probably not much.
Health department, yeah. Or the
mm-hmm. or their local units. Yeah, local. So that to me seems like a proper role for the government to support that kind of intersection of public data with the private sector. So that would be one use case that I could sort of rally around, which is, you know, big gap and, yeah.
Lynn, I appreciate your bringing that back up again. It gives me a chance to harp on this, I guess. But that Susan did a great job for us when she was writing up some of our first reports and work here about getting our epistemology straight, about defining what we meant by community. And then we also went by a functional notion of a community of solution. And we accepted the notion that the problems that people need to have solved have no idea where the county line is. And they don't know where Missouri ends and Arkansas begins. And to get to, and I'm working my way around, what's the role of the federal government? A role for the federal government is to enable communities of solution, even if they pass county and state lines. Functional sort of way to think about it. That's not based in the structures of whether they have a health department or what the agent of operation is. They don't have to work through a county health department. There are six counties in Colorado that don't have one, so that's not a very good idea for working with those six counties. So I think we've already accepted on our journey here that we will have this, we understand what we mean by community. And we accept the fact that the diversity of data uses need to be able to fit into a framework project of some sort. And we're going to have to deal with some ambiguity about how does that hit you?
Well, I guess the use cases will be really important.
Well, we had 14. We started with 14.
Yeah.
And we've been riding them, those 14 horses for quite a while now. And it's time to get some updates and further ones to guide it. I think there's widespread agreement with your point that the use cases will drive it. Paul will make this case. We can label that. When Paul goes off the committee, we can just wave a thing and say, Paul Tang point, you know, and talk about use cases.
Leslie?
So I just wanted to say that it's really hard. I mean, I think part of what we're recognizing is it's really hard to parse apart what's for which subcommittee to be taking leads on. And one of the things that we should probably be doing, I mean, we certainly should be doing, is making sure we don't step on each other's toes. So as we, you heard some of the kinds of things that we're looking at, and as we hear the kinds of things that you're looking at, we should kind of say, well, you're taking the lead on this, and we're taking the lead on that, and take it from there.
Absolutely, there's a sentence or so in this document where Susan says that this work goes back and forth between theory, research, and practical application, and you can think of the frameworks, and they're as information sources or knowledge or ways to organize stuff, and if we were to do this the way I would hope it could be done, anytime we tackled a problem and we needed to use data or we needed to help people talk about methods, much as we were having the recipe conversation, we would be able to look at this emerging structure, and it would start out as something that had a lot of ambiguity in it, because the thinking is designed to be extensible. So if we could, and we can almost start with the examples that we cobbled together in this first thing. They're initial examples. And as we begin to have some of these conversations, we could look at those as version, 0.001 of something, and we could say, okay, how does that inform us? What of that can we use as we do this? Now let's solve this problem. We'll build out other things. As we do that, let's then look back and update the frameworks until they get to a point that they provide enough of a landscape that we can write a white paper that helps people that don't live through this have some prayer of understanding what we're talking about, and that we can then begin to see gaps and make recommendations to the secretary. As I've spent a lot of time reading what NCVHS has done and the related things from IOM over the last 2-3 months, what I've discovered is there are lots of good examples about the data continuum in multiple levels. Interestingly enough, there's almost nothing that relates methods to that. The methods are all experts that are in people's heads that are applied one problem, one case at a time. They're not actually harnessed in a way that could then turn into these kind of recipes that we're talking about. So I think part of this work we can maybe grab, maybe that'll become the use cases, maybe we can take some of those examples that people have built. I don't know. It's a lot of ambiguity here.
The other thing I think, just as a guiding principle, health data and statistics has one sort of approach to the geographic and national and so on. But there are other places like the census and others where they've had much more experience. I think they see as a responsibility, because they collect it to begin with, obviously, the collection and dissemination and use of a fairly local level data, with all due protections of privacy. And they have advisory committees to advise them, and they spend a fair amount of money on it. And of course, they're the only ones who have all this data, so obviously they should be the ones to do this. But there are models from the social science side, particularly census, that could fit us here. There are models from the business side, the Bureau of Economic Analysis, and so on, and there are models from not so much education, transportation, or others, but there are other models to look at in terms of where, in the case of the census, I think that they've taken a fairly active role. They have the data, and it's a matter of getting it and under certain circumstances. In the case of health, nobody has all the data. Someone said that NCHS is the national center for health statistics. National, it's not the center for national statistics, which would include state and local. They could be. You could have a program there that just isn't focused on their own surveys, but actually, you know, works things. But it's a little different in health. The good thing about health is we have a lot of administrative data that needs to be marshaled, all starting from vital statistics, claims data, payment data, and so on, that is available at the local level under certain circumstances. So I just think we could probably learn a lot from census and others. In fact, you know, pulling some of those folks in and how they do it. How do they provide technical assistance? How do they disseminate? I'm a little afraid that the theory that if you build it, a website or something, they will come is the answer anymore. We have more stories of tools and websites that we've abandoned because there was, you know, we thought it was the answer and it went away. So we just have to be very thoughtful.
I just want to kind of follow up on that comment because even when we had our hearing and we had the census people, and they've got a ton of stuff that are actually excellent. But what they found is that even though they have, because I sat on one of the REACTs and what have you, they had to go to the point of having a community. They're called community census. Because despite all that stuff, that's actually turned out for them to be very successful in terms of getting the data out of the door. We have one at UCLA that focuses on the Native Hawaiian and other Pacific Islander populations. So I think there are some, you know, some potential models to think about.
Walter?
So, yeah, I just wanted to comment on something that Leslie mentioned that maybe think about this too. As we look at this type of projects, for example, the facilitating community learning system, this entire framework, in reality, the benefit and the uniqueness of our committee as a whole is that we sort of attacked every problem or try to attack every problem from a three-dimensional perspective. One is population health and in terms of content. Another one is privacy and security, the data stewardship frameworks, and another one is standards. And so in some respects, I'm going to begin to think that in each and every one of the projects, we should be thinking about the three components, triad approach to every one of these components. And so I would hope that this framework gets that triad perspective of saying, you know, there is definitely a component around all these aspects of methods and population health elements, but there's also the stewardship dimension, there's also the standards dimension. I mean, we're seeing it in a number of the other projects, and that's the while there's a lead, as Leslie was pointing out, there's a lead in a particular initiative, I think the other two subcommittees should also be engaged. And at the end, to tell the truth, I think, you know, our subcommittees are four or five people big, so it's not like, you know, we have a subcommittee of 24 or 10 or even that is really truly. So I'm hoping that as we move forward with these projects, we really see them from a kind of this triad kind of a perspective.
So that's a great segue. This is I'm from your public radio station, and it's fundraising time. we want to engage everyone from all of the committees and the work group in all of these activities. So the piece that we aren't going to get to today is really actually asking for folks who are interested in these streams. And it's not, you know, you don't get any preference if you've already identified yourself as a population health subcommittee member. You know, these are activities that cross, you're right, everything we do, and we want to make sure we have input from everyone. I mean, the data work group, the stuff we were talking about this morning, fits perfectly.
That's another example.
I mean,
HIPAA report.
They all mesh. So we want all of these different perspectives in these activities.
Let me just raise a question, which may, you know, may be simply impractical, wrong to even raise as still a novice on this committee.
This is your last chance to say that.
I still feel pretty darn novice. The reason we constitute is a framework work group was what this really is a framework to dock all of the stuff we're doing as a committee. It happened to get docked into population health, but it is logically a work group of the committee, and I mean that's what it is, and because the if you think of it that way, then the method how you put the framework together. And then having a focused workshop around what we can do now to provide help to communities this year around granularity would actually be a useful product of population health that would add information into the framework. So if you look at the kind as we take the things we were talking about this morning around granularity and around timeliness, from the perspective of how we get the right hooks for metadata that can work with the data use group, those are specific examples that would build the framework. And so one of the thoughts, since I think that one of the challenges people have with the framework is it's so abstract, as I came out of the data work group discussion this morning, I said, maybe what we should do is to focus on answering the time, first have a focus, I think timeliness is simpler, so we could have a focus maybe day on timeliness, answer that piece of the data work group, populate that card, if you will, in the methods framework, then go back and do the same thing on granularity. At that point, we would have an example of methods. Granularity would force us to get at levels. So I could see going back and forth like that, but I don't know. I was sort of coached that this thing needed to be docked somewhere, and it made sense to be docked in population health as much as anything else. We're all, but it's a committee of the whole.
So, Bruce, I want to jump in here irresistibly. I've got two suggestions to try out on all of you at 5:14, actually. It's, you know, it's hard with this group to sense when you're ready. But I think you're ready to make a definition of the work we're going to do together for a while, at least 2014. And we've got vector support well beyond that. I think this is a good point for us to, as a group, endorse the reports we've heard this afternoon and today from the three subcommittees this afternoon, and say the work plans that they have presented here today make sense, they're on track, they interdigitate, they're what we want to do, and answer the question what. That's the what question for NCVHS for at least 2014. Someone says, what are you doing? You whip out these charts and tables that we just saw and says, that's what we're doing, and that's the answer. The second notion that I want to try out on you is that this is probably not it's not probably a productive enterprise to decide to take names and addresses of who's going to do what right now, and that what we ought to do is if we can agree on the what, we give Debbie Jackson a work assignment of preparing the agenda for an executive subcommittee meeting soon for us to actually answer, take the timelines that you put out and put them on a grid and start dividing up the work. And to build off of Bill's word doc, we don't have the full committee, I think, should be seen as where this docks. And that the subcommittees are basically our mechanisms and our means to advance on more than one front at a time, where we'd be working in a coordinated fashion, but in smaller groups of five or six. But those people are not working in isolation, and they're not their own universe. They're tied back in. I'm glad to see Justine back down here at the corner, because unless there's some objection, I think we need to think of the work group as a fourth player, a fourth deployable resource to help get this what done. How does that hit you? Are you in your comfort zone? Have we talked about this enough to where you can say, let's do this?
Paul. Yeah, discussion. I'm going to just try to converge what you and Bill said to your brief. So if the framework was the organizing principle for this two-day workshop, for example, the three use cases, you start out with timeliness in order of difficulty, then granularity, and the one I'll throw in, they'll definitely get privacy on board, is data segmentation. And that the output really is going into the community readiness assessment.
Yeah.
Is the community ready to consume the output product of the frameworks applied to these three use cases? That's one way, so it's probably fine-tweaking, but there could actually be a workshop that combines literally the products in a way that's truly coherent and ends up with a product. Just try it.
Coming back to more of an administrative aspect to what you were saying, Larry, I think that makes a lot of sense, and it's sort of interesting, sort of parallels with some of the discussion I had with Bill after the lunch conversation, back to the use cases and the parallels of the workshop. But I think that it also means that the executive committee is going to need to take a look at all the work that are on the very robust work plans of each of the subcommittees and make some very hard decisions to focus us, not that all of it isn't good, but we're going to have to really hone our work efforts and our thoughts based upon especially the framework of available time that we have for the committee. I know I saw in the prior executive committee minutes that there was a discussion about maybe going to five meetings a year, and I know that wasn't really realistic, but we have way more on our plate than we ever have time to do, and that's an ongoing concern and impacts the ability of us to deliver something of value.
Back just a little on that. I think we.
Can you use the microphone?
Oh, yeah, sir. good idea. The five. I don't know that we need five meetings, but we need five. We need some combination of meeting and workshop. Mm-hmm. This was a very hybrid. We actually did work today, but I think what we need dedicated. I didn't mean that.
Wow.
What's not going on? Now we have it. Can you make this work? But you need a dedicated, what you described was dedicated heads down work. That's a true workshop. But this was a really good working meeting that had some outputs that feed into a dedicated, you call on certain people to come in to go do that work.
Yeah, I was just, it struck me that data segmentation was kind of a different set of issues in certain ways.
It is, but then it calls the question in a very tangible way on how do you deal with stewardship in the context of
right.
building a framework.
It's a critically important issue. I'm just not so sure it's as germane to the immediate community use question. But
I agree with that. I wanted to just go to a different idea. I think all our products, as I mentioned earlier, from a question that Bruce asked, all our products are really committee products. We don't produce things by subcommittee. They come out to be a committee product. So I think what you said about, you know, the structuring, and in some respects, you know, that is what we have been doing less formally, in that, you know, lately, we have joined hearings, for example, or we have joined products like the HIPAA report, or we have joined letters coming out. Like I mentioned, you know, the population health or public health standards letter. It's not just about standards, really, and it's not just about the standards subcommittee. It's really something that comes out from the three subcommittees. So I'm thinking that in reality, that process, it has already started.
Yep.
And maybe, yes, we need to formalize it a little more. And what we need to really think about, to a point that Alex mentioned, is as we formulate our own subcommittee, as we call it, subcommittee agendas, what we haven't recognized is the work items that work from other subcommittees are going to impose on us. So we need to add those pieces into our own work items, because, you know, our own subcommittee, we did actually include some connections on potentially this year later activities on public health standards, but we had not brought in the possibility of developing some section component aspects of this particular framework being presented today from population health. So we really need to identify sort of in columns the projects and in rows the subcommittees, going back to one of my matrices that I presented before, and really highlight, you know, what are the activities at the end of the work, and then how each of the subcommittees will participate in those activities.
Yeah, I think what bothers me is that it's an enormous amount of work that you really have to be clear about whether there are the resources to do it. I mean, I think the ideas today are exciting, but when we leave this room, it's like, do we have enough staff? Do we have enough time? I mean, some of the groups have an agenda. See, I guess the notion of what the executive committee has to do, I think, is a hard task. I mean, you're talking about two hearings, I guess, and white papers, and I heard standards already has, like, hearings going. I heard the work group has stuff. I mean, from a management standpoint, it just seems enormous to have each group doing what it's doing and then to have this, you know, kind of interdigitation that also has to go in order to get the quality of the product. So something's going to have to give, nothing has to give if there's enough resources. I mean, I think that
our priorities.
Yeah, exactly.
We can do everything at once. All packages have to deal with this.
Yeah. And then the other thing is, I think you really need to be clear that the direction you're going in is not necessarily what the community prioritized. So to say that this is what the community, that the work of this is what the community wanted, and when you keep going out to the community, you're going to kind of get a bit of pushback. But if you feel that this is important to help the community, that's what one should say, as opposed to going out and kind of stirring them up as we keep going and asking them questions, but then we don't do what they asked us to do because we keep saying we have to do this first and we have to do that first. So I just don't want the community kind of starting to, like, you know, the more we push out until we have to also learn how to work with the community. They're not, you know, kind of the academics and the feds.
So I want to build on what Paul said about the work we did today. I think the true value was we were all sitting around the table and we all have very different perspectives, and it made the product of today incredibly constructive and high quality because we could all blend our ideas together for consideration. So what I think we really need to do when we think about the structure organizationally is essentially we need, you know, three or four national committees that are subcommittees that represent, you know, different points of view in each work group rather than being, you know, identified by population standards and, you know, and rather than segmented in topic areas. Essentially, we need to pick people from each discipline to form work groups to lead the discussions and initial work to address the problems. I mean, that, I think that we're evolving to that kind of structure, and it makes more sense organizationally to think about how to do that strategically, maybe.
Justine.
This is just an update. I want to thank everyone again for the input this morning. Lily and I have worked to meet the deadline that Debbie set by 5 so that we can post. Well, we have to post tonight so that we could discuss and potentially vote tomorrow. I think we got the major concepts. We actually reduced it down to 2 topics, and we can discuss further tomorrow whether we want to add something else besides timeliness and metadata. Walter gave us a tremendous resource that came out of OMB on metadata that really strengthened what we were saying. As I'm rethinking what we did, there were a couple of edits I meant to make that I didn't make, but it'll be posted tonight. I appreciate your continued input, and I think if we can say 2 things and say them powerfully, sure, that's better than waiting 6 months to say 3 things.
We'll be tantalized all night waiting to see this.
I don't know, Debbie,
where would it be posted?
Where is it posted?
On the end.
So, I mean, actually, can you just send it to the full committee so they can have it while they're waiting for their meal.
Just a point of clarity. What we've been doing the last about a year, year and a half, is items that are coming up for action are posted within a day or so of the meeting so that the public gets a chance to see what the item is and intent for the discussion. Well, we didn't have this in terms for today, but I did ask for something that we could post for ourselves and for the public. It can be a very different document after you finish tomorrow, but at this point, even if it's conceptually, you know, organized for a framework, as you're saying, it would have something out there, and it would be on the usual placement on the home page in the discussion on the agenda item.
It'll be on the agenda.
Okay. But can you just
send it around to the committee as well?
Jim, I just want to echo Vicki and call it out in this great one-pager. I mean, I think the critical success factor for us is that we can say who we think our customer is, that we can develop whatever we develop in a way that the customer says, thank you. And, you know, it's in the one pager. It's what Vicki said. I think we ought to be better than anybody else at understanding some customer. We can't serve all the customers. I think that's one of the clear messages here. We can't serve them all in version 1 at any case. And so I think if we could say, you know, this is the customer, this is the need that we have gone out and validated that they need. That's the, you know, here we're going to road test the DCMF. Well, that's what we're talking about, is going out there and saying, when you actually watch what they're doing and listen to them and do a cognitive walkthrough with them about what we think they might need, and then they say yes or no. If they say no, which is
more likely than not, then we go back, we start over again, and we keep doing it till they say yes. If we do that, we will score, but that's hard. And
okay, so I have a proposition. Since Jack Burke has said so much today, I wonder if I can entice him into making a formal motion that the committee approve the work plans as presented today.
Mr. Chairman, I'd be happy to make such a motion. I would suggest that the committee consider the plans presented this afternoon as being adoptable in their current form, and that we vote to approve the deliverables for 14 and beyond based on those descriptions.
Wow.
Second?
Okay. Are you ready to vote?
Yes.
All
yes.
Right. Yes.
All in favor? All opposed? All abstaining? Okay, good. Tomorrow, we'll start with standards at 8 o'clock. Everyone's invited. I remember the early days of my experience here. I basically just was grateful I wasn't on the standards subcommittee because I couldn't understand what they were talking about. And now, after getting to the last half of yesterday's, I mean, this is a hell of a good show. And so you might not want to miss it, is my point. And come early tomorrow and join Walter and Ob and the consider that. And then you guys do your best to get us started at 9 o'clock with the full committee. And we will open up with the famous Dr. Bruce Cohen making his presentation that has been postponed so far three times.
Start the day.
And then I think we'll do just fine to move out on to it. We'll go to Justine and we'll proceed through that.
So it'll be,
and we will manage. We've got a hard stop there at 10 o'clock where we'll want to, wherever we are, we're going to want to interrupt and do the 10 o'clock social determinants of health with Carter Blakely. So that'll be our plan for tomorrow. I think we'll be able to end on time. Thank you for your attention and dedication for today. See you at dinner.
Dinner at 6:30 to catch the special. Otherwise, it's full load.
Okay.